We start off our reading from Proverbs 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For learning wisdom and discipline, for understanding insightful sayings, for receiving prudent instruction in righteousness, justice, and integrity, for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discernment to discretion to a young man. Let a wise person listen and increase learning, and let a discerning person obtain guidance for understanding a proverb or a parable, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. And now we turn to chapter 8. Doesn't wisdom call out? Doesn't understanding make her voice heard? At the heights overlooking the road, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the main entrance, she cries out, "People, I call out to you. My cry is to the children of Adam. Learn to be shrewd, you who are inexperienced. Develop common sense, you who are foolish. Listen, for I speak of noble things, and what my lips say is right. For my mouth tells the truth, and wickedness is detestable to my lips. All the words from my mouth are righteous. None of them are deceptive or perverse. All of them are clear to the perceptive, and right to those who discover knowledge. Accept my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and nothing desirable can equal it. I, wisdom, share a home with shrewdness, and have knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate arrogant pride, evil conduct, and perverse speech. I possess good advice and sound wisdom. I have understanding and strength. It is by me that kings reign and rulers enact just law. By me princes lead, as do nobles and all righteous judges. I love those who love me, and those who search for me find me. With me are riches and honor, lasting wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than solid gold, and my harvest than pure silver. I walk in the ways of righteousness, along the paths of justice, giving wealth as an inheritance to those who love me, and filling their treasuries. The Lord acquired me at the beginning of his creation, before his works of long ago. I was formed before ancient times, from the beginning, before the earth began. I was born when there were no watery depths and no springs filled with water. Before the mountains were established, prior to the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the land, the fields, or the first soil on earth. I was there when he established the heavens, when he laid out the horizon on the surface of the ocean, when he placed the skies above, when the fountains of the oceans gushed out, when he set a limit for the sea so that the waters would not violate his command, when he laid out the foundations of the earth. I was a skilled craftsman beside him. I was his delight every day, always rejoicing before him. I was rejoicing in his inhabited world, delighting in the children of Adam. And now, sons, listen to me. Those who keep my ways are happy. Listen to instruction and be wise. Don't ignore it. Anyone who listens to me is happy, watching at my doors every day, waiting by the posts of my doorway. For the one who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But the one who misses me harms himself. All who hate me love death. This is the word of the Lord.
So friends, today we come to the subject of wisdom. We're looking at the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs is an interesting book in the Bible because you can't read it like you would normally read a book. When you normally read a book, you kind of start at the top of page one and you make your way through and you start reading. The story develops in a sequence and you read chapter by chapter, page by page, even, you know, paragraph by paragraph, and the story unfolds for you. That's how a book is read normally. But that's not how. That's not the only way you can use a book. Other books are a little bit more piecemeal. Say, for example, I wanted to read a mathematics textbook. You probably wouldn't start at page one and then read to the end of the book. If I'm honest, I probably wouldn't read it at all. But let's pretend that I wanted to find out how to do some particular math problem that I knew was in the book. You know, I might go to chapter three and learn all about fractions. Now, I probably don't need to read the rest of the book to get the knowledge I want. And I didn't need to start at chapter one because I already knew how to add and subtract. And so you can just go to the part of the book where it's telling you the very thing you needed to know. So some books are a little bit more piecemeal, some books are read from start to finish, but Proverbs is like neither of these two things. There aren't chapters you can go if you wanted to find out about a particular kind of wisdom. You can't go to chapter 4 and find the wisdom about money. You can't go to chapter 5 and find wisdom about relationships. Proverbs is not designed to be read like that. It's not a story, it's not a history, it's not a textbook of subjects. It is a book that has been designed to teach us wisdom, to teach us how to be wise, how to go beyond understanding or just knowing about things to understanding the things, the principles that guide how life works. It is a book that God has given us to impart wisdom to us, to make us competent with life. So do we want to grow in wisdom? Do we want to learn about the wisdom that God has weaved into creation? Well, then this is a book we need to learn from and we can dive in. Now, Proverbs is a book that was originally designed to be read within a community. So as a child, you might read it with your parents, and then as you grow up, you might read it, you know, in the ancient Hebrew youth group together with your wise mentors, if you like. And whenever you get to a proverb, you're supposed to think about it, to ponder it, to compare it and contrast it with other bits of the book of Proverbs. When you read Proverbs, you will find that some proverbs seem to contradict one another. They say one thing in one place, and then they say the opposite thing in another place. And you have to think, well, why is that? You have to wrestle with these things. Proverbs is designed to give us a fuller picture, to understand wisdom as God had intended us to understand it. And to really grapple with the book, actually, you're supposed to read the whole thing a number of times and really kind of ruminate and meditate on it. It is supposed to teach us wisdom as we've wrestled with the realities of life. So then what is wisdom? What is wisdom? The joke is that wisdom is different from knowledge, because knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. And that's true, right? Knowledge is knowing about stuff. Wisdom is knowing how those things work in reality, how they interact with life. In Tim Keller's series on Proverbs, which was done like 20 years ago, he quotes a guy called Gerard von Rad, who defines wisdom this way, and I think he's right. He says, wisdom is competence with regards to the realities of life. It makes you competent with how life really works. Now, if we don't have wisdom then, friends, if we're not competent with how life really works, if we don't have wisdom, then we will ruin our lives. We can't be competent at living in this world. We are a people who need guidance. We need to understand how life works. And the problem is that we want a set of rules. We don't want wisdom, right? We want to go to the Ten Commandments and just enact them and live them and expect everything else to work that way. But the problem is, no matter what those commandments are, whether we're a Christian or a Buddhist or whatever, if we've got this list of rules, no matter how broad and how wide and how many of these rules there are, they will never cover every circumstance in life. You can come up with one set of rules, I can come up with another set of rules. No matter how many rules we have, they won't cover the realities of life. Rules are not enough. No matter what the rules are, whether they're based on the Bible or the Quran or the Buddhist text or any other document, the vast number of rules won't actually deal with life. The things we deal with every day simply won't apply to those rules. Let me give you some examples. We know from Scripture that God is a God who loves looking after the poor. He is a person who's interested in looking after the sojourner, the poor, the widow, the orphan, and so on. We know that helping the widow, the poor, the orphan, you know, that's a great command, a great rule, if you like, for how to live life. But friends, if you don't know how poverty works, if you aren't competent with regard to the reality of poverty, you might want to help a person, but helping them will ruin their life. No, the rule is help the poor, but how? And when? And to what extent? How am I supposed to help them? Do I give them money? Do I lend them money? Do I set up a whole new social structure which will help them, much like the World Transform people are doing? If so, which kind of social structure should I set up? How much should we invest in that? These are not things that rules can help us understand. The rules simply don't apply. Or what about if you have children? How many children should you have? How far apart should they be? Can you even really control that? Should I take this job or that job? Should I confront the person who has offended me, or should I hold back? Should I speak my mind or keep silent? Should I give my money to this charity or that charity? How am I to know? The rules simply don't apply. You can't go to Romans chapter 7 and understand these things. That's not how it works. If we are not wise, we will ruin our lives and the lives of those around us. And no matter what we think the rules are, the vast majority of our life is not covered by the rules. So we need wisdom. We are a people who need wisdom. So then how does wisdom actually help us? Well, what does the Bible say? What is the value of wisdom? The book of Proverbs opens up with a call to come, an invitation to come and get wisdom. Solomon, who wrote the vast majority of the Proverbs in this book, says that this is a book designed so that we can get insight. We can learn from the wise. It will give us prudence. It will help us to fear the Lord. And here, it is what this book of Proverbs promises us, that when we reflect on these Proverbs, we will gain wisdom. We will get insight. Insight is this word that has that means we have the understanding of not just how the thing works, but really the principles that guide what that makes that thing run. Proverbs is designed to help us really understand how life works, to see beyond the surface level, to look at what happens underneath. Solomon invites us to come and understand how to deal wisely with things. To deal wisely is a word that means to have skill to prosper in life. To understand something and then to apply that understanding to help us prosper in life. It's wise dealing with things. We're promised prudence, which is meant, by which we learn subtlety, guile, and shrewdness. We are promised guidance. A word which means something like good advice, counsel from a wise person, discretion in difficult times. We get insight, we get wise dealing, we get prudence, we get guidance. I mean, who wouldn't want this, right? Is this what you want? Is this what you want from the Lord? You should. Don't you want to know how life really works? Don't you want to understand how to be able to handle the way life as it actually is? Don't you want to be competent with regards to the realities of life? Well, this book actually offers us a window into understanding these things. So what does Proverbs say? Proverbs says that wisdom is calling out. You know, on the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, wisdom takes a stand. When we are at a crossroads, it is a decision point in our life. Wisdom applies to every decision we make, every crossroad we come to, every choice we make, wisdom is needed. She calls out beside the gates at the front of the town, at the entrance portals, she cries out. Now, the entrance of a town in the days of Israel was really where the law court happened. So if you had an argument with someone, you could go to the entrance of the town where the elders would sit and you could get your court case heard. If you had a complaint against someone, that's where you went with it. And so as the elders sat and judged these situations, this law court it was where justice was delivered. There, wisdom is required. If we want to know how to treat people fairly with justice and equity, we need wisdom. Chapter 8, verse 15. By me, kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me, princes and rulers and nobles govern justly. Wisdom is needed to lead God's people. And if you find yourself in any kind of leadership position, whether that's at work or at home, and you need to make decisions about the people under your care, wisdom is needed. We need wisdom. But our world, friends, does not value wisdom. We value intellect, knowledge, science for the sake of science. We value beauty. We value money and power and fame. But most often we don't value wisdom, not nearly as much as the Bible does. But if we want to know why the world is the way it is, if we want to be able to live competently in this life, we need wisdom. Now, when we hear this, we might think, okay, you know, Chris has been on leave for 6 weeks. He's overdoing it a bit in his opening sermon. Surely it can't be that important. But the Bible is super strong on our need for wisdom. We actually need wisdom in every day of our lives. The Bible describes wisdom as one of the most important things we have. Verse 10, Solomon encourages there in chapter 1, I think, take my instruction instead of silver, my knowledge rather than choice gold. Wisdom is better than jewels, and that all that you may desire cannot compare to wisdom. Wisdom is super important. Now, why is Solomon saying this? Why is wisdom far better than knowledge? Why is wisdom better than gold, better than riches, better even than choice gold and jewels? Wisdom, says the book of Proverbs, is better than anything we can desire because it comes from God. It is woven into the very tapestry of how the world is made. When we read in chapter 8 that wisdom was there before the foundation of the world and it is by wisdom that God made the world, we have to understand that wisdom is involved in everything in creation. There is nothing in this world that does not require wisdom to handle well. Wisdom is greater than anything else we might desire. Because without biblical wisdom, we will never get what our heart truly desires. We might think we want riches, but why? What's sitting underneath that? What's the principle that's guiding that desire? Wisdom will teach us. We might want fame or power, but why? What's sitting underneath that? Wisdom will teach us. You know, if you're a parent, maybe you love your children a lot. I hope you do. You want to have a good relationship with your children. That's not a difficult thing to imagine. But now let's say you're an unwise parent. You're going to be unwise in one of two ways if you don't have wisdom. The first thing an unwise parent does is they hold so tightly to that child that the relationship becomes overly important to the parent. And they start smothering the child and overprotecting them. You don't give them any space. And as soon as that child is able to, they will distance themselves from you because you have essentially smothered them to death. You love them so much that they have to run away. That's not wise. It's for this reason that in Ephesians chapter 6, we read, "Parents, you are not to exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up with training and instruction in the Lord." You can be unwise by loving your kid too much, so to speak. On the other side, you can be unwise in that you fail to give your child boundaries where you think your child should just run wild and free because you don't want to curtail them because they might not love you back. There are consequences to that. You raise a child that is entitled and demanding and has no respect for you or anyone in the world. And when your friendship with your child becomes more important than your God-given duty to raise them well, you have become unwise. Proverbs talks about this in chapter 29, verse 15, where we read, "The rod and correction give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Without wisdom about how to raise your children, you will destroy the very thing you wanted in the first place. You want a great relationship with a child, but what sits underneath that? You need wisdom, and Proverbs promises us. Maybe you want to be a successful business person. You can be a wise one, or you can be an unwise one. An unwise business person will, might have all the knowledge to make money, but if they are unwise, they will do so in unethical ways. In the short term, it might make them very rich, but in the long run, it will destroy their business. It will destroy the confidence the customer has in them. It might seem good for a while, but it is unwise in the long run. Recently, the Harvard Business School ran a study on businesses that handled things ethically and unethically. And they concluded that an ethical business that makes less profit in the long run will do better for exactly this reason. Competent with regards to the realities of how to run a business. But long before the Harvard Business School was ever established, Proverbs already said this to us. Chapter 11, verse 18. "A wicked man earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness will reap a sure reward." Or in 16 verse 8, "Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice." Competence with regards to business. Without wisdom, the very thing you wanted will be taken from you. It will collapse on itself. We need wisdom. We need wisdom. It's important for every aspect of life. So how do we get it? Well, we're going to spend the next several weeks working through the book of Proverbs, and we're going to do that in basically what I'm going to attempt to do is think of a topic, say money or whatever, and then we'll collect all the Proverbs that relate to that, put them together, and then we'll talk about what the Bible says about those things. I did that a number of years ago, and now that I'm somewhat older and hopefully a little bit wiser, we'll see if we can do it right this time. The Bible says, though, that we gain wisdom not just from the book of Proverbs. As we'll discover, biblical wisdom actually only comes when we apply those principles through the eyes of looking at Jesus. Because what does the Bible actually say? Is that Jesus is the solution to our wisdom problem. Wisdom is important. We need it. Where do we get it? We actually ultimately get it in Christ Jesus himself. Now, what are the clues that we have to Jesus in this set of Proverbs we read this morning? Firstly, we find out that wisdom in Proverbs, here in chapter 8 especially, is a person. Wisdom is actually a person. In the book of Proverbs, this person calls out to be known. Now, that's a wonderful teaching tool, making wisdom a person, calling out to be known. That's a way of making wisdom come alive. But also, wisdom is depicted as someone who can be known as a person. Now, Proverbs was originally a teaching manual for primarily teenage boys and young men to learn wisdom. Now, if you want to grab a teenage boy's attention, what do you do? Well, you say, here's wisdom, she's a woman and she's good looking, so look at her. But that's actually what Proverbs does. It's a person that you can know. It's a wonderful teaching tool. But it's also more than just a poetic device to make it interesting. What if wisdom was actually a person that you could know? What if God's wisdom was actually personified in Jesus, who calls to us to know him? That's a nice idea. But is it true? Well, let's look together at verse 22 to 31. I'm actually reading this from the NIV. What does wisdom say? I'll read from there. I need glasses. verse 22, "The Lord acquired me at the beginning of his creation, before his works of long ago. I was formed before ancient times, from the beginning, before the earth began. I was born when there were no watery depths and no springs filled with water. Before the mountains were established, prior to the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the land, the fields, and or the first soil on the earth, I was there when he established the heavens, when he laid out the horizon on the surface of the ocean, when he placed the skies above, when the fountains of the ocean gushed out, when he set a limit for the sea, so that the waters would not violate his command." Who is being talked about here? Is it not the Lord who says to the water, you can come this far and no further? There were no people created then. What if wisdom was a person that we could know? This is almost a direct quote from Genesis 1. At least it's a very heavy allusion to it, the creation account. It describes how God made the world and says, before God made the world, wisdom as a person was there. Who is this person who was there before the creation of the world? This master craftsman by whom the whole universe was made? Well, it is Christ, of course. And then in verse 35, wisdom says, "Whoever finds me finds life. Whoever finds me obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself, and those who hate me love death." Now, in the Greek, the word logos has a lot of connotations. It means not only a word, but also divine principle, a kind of divine wisdom that was before all creation. So imagine the astonishment then of the readers of John, who in John 1 says that there is this person, if you found him, you would find life. If you read 1 John, he says, in the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. He was at the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that is the same wisdom who says, whoever finds me finds life. Whoever obtains me obtains favor from the Lord. You see, friends, our solution to our wisdom problem lies in Jesus himself. And in fact, the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. Do we lack wisdom? To the extent that we have found Christ and we lay down our lives before him and turn to him as the one who teaches us how to live, to the extent that we will do that, we will have found wisdom. And the more wisdom we get throughout life, the more we will see our need for Jesus, our need to be redeemed by him. You know, when we are a new Christian, often we think, okay, I've done the big thing, I've given my life to the Lord. And then as you grow as a Christian, you realize how much you just still need to give to God. That is the gaining of wisdom. And the more wiser we are, the more we realize how much we need Jesus. And once we see that we need Christ in our life, we are on our path to eternal wisdom. And the more we do that, the more we will find life. And so, friends, it is my prayer that over the next several weeks, as we explore, the realities of life through the book of Proverbs, it's my prayer that we will find our wisdom, or the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus as well. For if we find Him, we will find life. And if we obtain Him, we will obtain favor from the Lord. And so let me pray. Lord, we thank You that You've given us a book of wisdom to make us competent with regards to the realities of life. We pray now, Lord, that You will change us and shape us and grow us and make us people that are wise. Help us to live life in a way that really honors You. Help us to turn our eyes towards Jesus as the source of all wisdom. And we pray that as we do that, You will make us competent in this life, in living a life for You. And so we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.